And he made a very smart decision in hiring Gilbert H. Grosvenor to be the first editor of National Geographic magazine. He also happened to be his son-in-law, which worked out well. But yes, I mean, there's a very distinguished history to National Geographic, and Alexander Graham Bell was really one of the key players to kick it off.
But it wasn't until 1905, I read, that the magazine had photographs, which, of course, is what it's known for now.
Well, 1905, the January issue, was the first photo essay we had, and that was put in the magazine as a pure act of desperation. There really wasn't a plan at all.
Desperation because?
Because they had gone to the printer and realized they were 11 pages short of any content. They had nothing to put in the magazine, and Mr. Grosvenor, the editor at the time, the first editor of the magazine, opened a package from some Russian explorers who'd been to Lhasa, Tibet, and they were magnificent pictures, and he thought, well, this will be a simple way for us to fill those empty pages. I'll do that, and I may lose my job because this is a serious scientific journal. And the board of trustees may think it's frivolous, but I got to do something, and I like the pictures, so let's see what happens. And, of course, what happened was history was made. And
other
it was
people liked the pictures.
Yeah, people loved the pictures, loved the magazine. It was a smashing success. Several board members resigned, or at least threatened to resign, because of the frivolous nature of photographs in the scientific publication. But that really set us off to be a very visual organization.
And the Geographic has really, in the profession of photography, it's really been cutting edge.
Well, we have certainly tried to carry that tradition. We were the first to really dive deeply into underwater photography. We did a lot of flash photography. We started to do more and more color in the magazine. First, we did color tinting of photographs in the magazine, which are actually magnificent. They're beautiful. And, of course, the other thing we've done is embrace technological change and looked at that as opportunities. The iPad, video, audio, immersive storytelling with all the great tools we have out there to tell stories.
I want to read a quote you've said in another interview about photography, and this is the quote you said, "I tell the photographers here, and the same goes for writers, show me and tell me what you see, but tell me and show me what you feel."
Well, that's right. That's where a photographer and a writer's voice become so important as we move the magazine forward and take opportunities for the kind of storytelling we can do that we really couldn't do a few years ago. I mean, you've got a camera now that can record high-definition video, can record audio. You can tell a much more complete story now. So then you can get much more to sharing how you feel about something, but in a very responsible way. I mean, National Geographic's a nonprofit organization. We don't have a political agenda, but we do feel strongly that intelligent conversations are a good thing for the world.
When you say voice, what do you mean exactly?
What I mean is that a photographer or a writer has a strong narrative sense and is able to stitch a strong narrative story together. And really, when they're very skilled at that, they become invisible. And then what their voice does is amplify the voice that they're connecting with, the voices they're covering. It could be the voice of Uyghurs in China. It could be the voice of a teen bride in Afghanistan. It could be really giving voice to African wild dogs or grizzly bears. I mean, or a great landscape like Montana has in spades.
I want to read another quote. You've said, "Our board of trustees want us to make a positive difference in the world, to inspire people to think and do the right thing for all of us and for future generations." That's a little bit of a political statement, don't you think?
Well, we have a long history of moving the dial in public awareness. And so there's no question we're an influential magazine.
And you take on controversial topics, climate change, for example.
Absolutely. We've been covering climate change since the mid-80s. An important part of our DNA is science. We support science. We send scientists all over the world. We send explorers all over the world. In 1888, we sent explorers up near Yakutat, up the Hubbard Glacier and Russell Fjord and Icy Bay. That's something we strongly believe in. We strongly believe in the value of human curiosity and of science. So we're going to cover climate change, absolutely, but we're going to cover it. We don't have a political agenda with climate change, but we do believe it's important for people to understand the science and what we are learning and to celebrate our ability to learn and then to share and educate.
You have, I read, 40 million people who read the magazine in 33 languages.
It's actually 39 now.
39 languages.
Yes.
Truly an international magazine. But still, you have to work hard to remain competitive given all the competition that's out there, don't you?
We do. I mean, and I love that. I mean, I love the fact that we have to be relevant. And our readers constantly tell us if we're relevant or not. And, of course, now we can reach audiences through the web, through mobile devices, through, of course, television. There are a lot of ways we can help people try to understand and appreciate the world.
Magazine around for another 125 more years, you think, Mr. Johns?
It's certainly our intention to make National Geographic relevant in people's lives. You know, what the magazine will be, how it will manifest itself, is happening right now. And it's really exciting because now you can, on your iPad or your tablet, have a magazine experience that includes video, that includes audio, that includes great writing, great photography, community interaction. We can share community pictures that from your shot, our community sharing photo site. There's just so much more the magazine can be as an experience across multiple platforms. And of course, we're really excited about the opportunities, not only with the web, but with mobile devices. So everywhere, anytime, you can tap in to National Geographic.
As visionary as Alexander Graham Bell was, he could not have envisioned all of that, could he?
No, but Alexander Graham Bell embraced technology and embraced change and had the ability to see opportunities. And that's really the place we're in now, is there are tremendous opportunities for storytelling and understanding and community engagement, community involvement worldwide. And that way, I think we can all listen to each other and make better decisions.
Well, I have been speaking with Chris Johns, who's the editor-in-chief of National Geographic Magazine. Mr. Johns, pleasure to have you in our studio again. Thank you.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.